Okay, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to today's Radio EduTalk. Delighted to welcome to the show Stephen and David from Move On. It's a housing charity, a housing education charity over in Edinburgh. And today we're going to be hearing about the work of Move On under the theme of supporting people affected by homelessness and helping to prevent homelessness. The show is going to be on for the next 20 or 25 minutes, and whether you're listening to the live stream or if you're accessing the recording, you can get in touch any time. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or if you're on Twitter, just put something up. It might be a question for Stephen and David, or it might be a comment, and if you just include the hashtag edutalk, then we'll be able to pick that up and either relay it to our guests during the show or indeed any time after the show. Okay, I'd like, first of all, just like to welcome to the show Stephen and David. And Stephen, could you just start by giving us a bit of background to yourself and your work within Move On, and then more widely the various services and educational opportunities that, that Move On provide, and then we'll go on to hear about David's story in terms of his work with Move On.
Okay, yeah. Hello, everybody. My name's Stephen Wilton. I'm a development worker for Move On. I've been working on since November last year. I've been doing youth work since the year 2000 in various different roles. I'll let you... I'll give you a bit of information on what actually Move On does. We're a mentoring service. We also have other little parts to our organisation as well, such as a befriending service and a peer ed service. But I'll just start basically with what we do. We're based in Edinburgh and Glasgow, and we go around schools delivering workshops around homelessness and budgeting skills. And through this, we're hoping to educate young people into the housing options if they ever do this, when they do decide to leave home, whether that's voluntary or involuntary. We also run a mentoring project which is aimed at 14 to 19 year old young people who are in danger of disengaging with school or are disengaged. And what happens there is we allocate them a member who's going to guide them and support the young person into achieving goals. So those goals could be as simple as anything as using public transport or using the telephone, which a lot of people take for granted, but for some people that's a major issue. So we'll work, that could be a short-term goal that we'll work on, and then in the end the long-term goal could be maybe playing a musical instrument, doing volunteering themselves, the list is endless. But it helps young people to gain the confidence and increase the work skills and the match of the mentor that they choose. So it's their choosing. We've got a batch of mentors who are in our filing system, and it's up to the young person to choose which one that they would like, and they do that by we have a mentor file which doesn't have any personal details, but just tells, it's a way for the mentors to sell themselves. We also run the peer ed training, which is peer education. Through that, they can get a SCQF, which is a Scottish Credit Qualification Framework Level 5, and that is a peer education training that lasts for 12 weeks, and it's open for 16 to 28-year-olds who've been affected by homelessness or looked after and accommodated, and it's for their chance to, get some work experience as well. The peer education are trained over the 12 weeks in how to deliver workshops and various other skills as well. I've actually got a peer educator on who's just here at the side of me. Actually, he's currently doing the peer education training. He's about halfway through. He's called David Early, and he would just like to give a bit of information on what he actually does and how he got involved.
Hiya. My name's David Early. I found about Move On through Venture Scotland, and I was very quickly referred and came along for a chat. And although I was extremely nervous at the time, I went ahead and signed up. I chose to be a peer educator because I wanted a challenge. And for me, I think there's not enough out enough on offer to educate young people and the risks of homelessness. And since being involved, it has made me realise that I myself want to work in the social care sector in the future, and this course will help me to achieve that. I feel that I have a good insight into the topic, as I do have experience of homelessness myself. And I feel being a peer educator gives me the chance to make young people aware of the reality of homelessness and to help them make the right choices.
Thanks very much, David. Thanks, Stephen. I'm kind of interested about, can we put some kind of, I don't know whether we can put figures around what the current problem is to try and kind of define the problem of homelessness at the moment. But can you say a bit about where we're at just now, Stephen, maybe Scotland-wide or Edinburgh and the surrounding areas? You know, what types of homelessness or what types of people, what types of problems do we have at the moment in terms of housing, either in the Edinburgh area or further afield? And are the types of problems and the types of people that find themselves homeless, is that changing at all, maybe in light of Scottish and UK government policies?
Well, I haven't got those facts and figures on hand, David, sorry about that. The last figures that were produced in 2009-2010 by the Scottish Government, it was 60 young people per day were classed as being homeless within Scotland alone. So, I mean, the scale of things, it's quite massive when you think about that. It's that's enough over the year to fill Hibb Stadium and Hurt Stadium. So, I mean, that's the only current figures I've got. I don't think the Scottish Government have done another major stats drive at the moment. So that was the last one in 2009-2010. So I wouldn't want to get any facts or figures when I've not actually got those in front of me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, many of the people who listen to the show, Stephen, you know, would be involved in education, maybe mainstream education, maybe class teachers as well. So can you maybe just outline what some of the risks are of, around homelessness and some of the typical situations that people find themselves in when they become homeless and what kind of limited options they have?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of young people, when we go in to do the workshops at the schools, they're not actually aware of what is available to them, what the housing options are at 16, whether that be, like I said before, whether they make themselves intentionally homeless or they're kicked out by the carers or the parents. I think, obviously, the danger, you've got the elements outside, which is a major factor, especially since you've had this long winter as well. You've got the health and safety of young people, not just with the elements, but you've also got outside factors such as over homeless people or people, especially when you live in a city like Edinburgh. If you find yourself homeless, it's a bit of a scary place out there, especially when you're outside a main street. If you're actually on the street looking for money from folk, your best places tend to be outside nightclubs of an evening. So again, that brings its risks as well. I think the main thing that I've learned since I've been doing this job is that young people are just not aware of the risks and what actually homelessness means. I mean, we do in our workshop, we do stereotypes on homelessness and what young people perceive homelessness to be. And predominantly, they do think it as the people that you pass on the streets with the dog or the Greggs cup or a piece of cardboard, just stating a little bit about themselves. When we actually tell them that. I mean, you could be made homeless if you have a house fire, and there's various different reasons why you could be homeless. So I mean, it's just making them aware and obviously letting them know that if they do find themselves in an unfortunate situation where they do find themselves homeless, that they know where to go, whether that be the local council or
Hazen Association or whoever they choose to go to, but just making sure that there's places, making sure that they know where to go if they do find themselves in that situation.
Mm-hmm. And some of our listeners may have young people in their class who are at risk of becoming homeless or might be homeless or temporarily homeless. So what kind of options or what kind of things might teachers, for example, hear the young people talking about? I mean, certainly from my experience, I've heard young people talking about bed and breakfast accommodation, you know, for example. Uh-huh. Are you still classed as homeless if you're in?
Yes. You've no fixed abode, so it's hostels, refugees, if you're sofa surfing, so if you're stopping from one friend to another friend week by week, that you're still classed as homeless, you've no fixed abode. Young people who find themselves have an argument with their parents on a Friday and then don't go back, have a big argument, I don't know, maybe they leave and say, I'm not coming back, or the parents or the carers state the opposite, then for that period of time they're classed as homeless as well. And that's a big shock to young people, because a lot of them will have been in that situation. Not a lot of them, but some of them would have been in that situation when we do the workshops. We do come across that, and that's one of the questions that we ask. And it's a bit of a shock to them that for that period of time that they've been classed as homeless. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're on Princess Street in Edinburgh or York Place with a paper cup, like I said before, and a blanket and a dog.
David might want to come in at this point, but you use the phrase there, no fixed abode. So you're a young person, you've got enough difficulties in your life in terms of positive destinations and moving on to something that's, you know, you're going to move your life forward. So if you have no fixed abode for a period of time, what kind of further restrictions or further difficulties does that create for you?
Well, obviously, if no fixed abode, it's just healthcare, general healthcare. You need trying to get employment as well. You need a fixed abode. I mean, it's just really difficult. And a lot of young people as well, if they do live home, they don't take documents with them, such as what you'll need, like birth certificates, passports if you've got them, national insurance cards if you've got those. And these are other things that we do actually state to young people. If you're in the process of leaving home or of being kicked out, then you need these bits of information, because these things will speed up the process of finding your housing, or whether that be in council accommodation, housing association accommodation, or whether it's sheltered housing. It does speed it up a little bit, because these are the documents that you do actually need to hand, and if you haven't got them, then it's just going to slow the process up.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying there about just going back to the various housing options should somebody find themselves homeless. You mentioned hostels. Now I would imagine for many people that would conjure up some pretty dismal images of places that might be full of adults, some of them maybe fairly well on in life, in fairly serious kind of cycles of decline. But are there such things as hostels for younger people?
Well, certainly from my own experience, the hostel I was living in, I mean, we had 16, 17-year-olds who had 45-year-olds. You know? But there are hostels specifically for young people that tend to be full or... Yeah, and they generally do have to use the services that adults would use, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, David, if you're comfortable saying something about how you managed to kind of turn things around and to move out of homelessness, and what kind of support you maybe received or you would like to have received at the time.
Well, the support I was receiving at first, I mean, it was very limited for a period of time, and it took me a while to realise that was actually coming from my own behalf, that the reasons why it was limited. And by the time I started to receive the help, that I did not, they don't advertise it enough is one thing. I mean, to find out about organisations months and months down the line after being in the hostel, it's the kind of information should be at hand. I got the homeless situation. I've been in my flat now for 6 months. And it's been through nothing but sheer persistence and voluntary work and just not being afraid to ask for help, because it is there.
Yeah. And do you think more needs to be done, or is it a case of professionals? If you look maybe at other people that are maybe that you know who continue to be homeless, do professionals need to up their game, or does there need to be more people in place offering support, or is it a wider problem that really, for example, governments have to do something?
It's definitely a wider problem. It's a much bigger problem than a lot of people realise. Obviously, you think of homelessness and you think of the people begging on the streets, but the people you don't see are the people that are maybe sofa surfing. And so it is a huge problem that really does need to be addressed, and not just by professionals, but by people like myself as a peer educator, going around schools or residentials, and just the previous experience, and just sharing that information.
And can you say a wee bit about, I noticed Stephen said it earlier on, and it's on the website, about, you know, trying so hard to engage with young people who are at risk of homelessness and are possibly disengaging from other services such as education. What's your approach like then to actually, when you're working with such young people, how do you go about trying to make a success of your time with them, trying to engage and trying to impress on them the benefit of your experience?
I think it's what we offer the young people. We're just a goal-setting organisation, basically, which it's all the young people's choices. It's a totally voluntary option for them. So at any time that they feel that it's not for them, they can leave. There's no contract signed, so I mean, like I said, it's totally voluntary. So I think that makes a big difference. Some young people engage well with school, and others don't, for many different reasons. And I think that I suppose the workers that we've got here as well, our volunteers as well. I think that just all adds to the reason why the young people do come to us and actually stay with us and have a successful. That's the word I'm looking for. Period of time with us. I don't think there's anything I can pinpoint directly.
Uh-huh. In terms of the workshops, you know, do you try and make them interactive, or is it a mix of?
Oh yeah, very interactive. Yeah, and that's one of the things that when we're doing our evaluations that the young people say they really enjoyed getting stuck in, and it's not just about standing in front of the classroom with 30 young people who have maybe had a long day and then just talking at them. It's about getting them involved, and we do it by using fun games, and it just works a lot better than sitting in there and lecturing a group of young people. From the evaluation forms that we've got, it always scores highly on fun levels, so actually the learning something whilst having fun as well, so it's always a bonus.
It's just to say, we're just coming into the last 5 minutes of this afternoon's show.
Okay,
and
no problem.
If you're listening to live stream or the recording, then you can get in touch with a comment or question for Stephen and David. The email address is edutalker, edutalkr @hotmail.co.uk, and on Twitter just include the hashtag edutalk. Now, as you're aware, Stephen, I work with young people who are sometimes termed as being looked after and accommodated.
Yeah.
Is that a separate kind of collection of problems or difficulties that such young people face, in addition to those faced by people that you work with sort of day in, day out?
I think all young people deal with issues in their life differently, don't they? And some may be able to cope with certain issues and others can't. I think we're looked after young people. I don't think you can really pigeonhole that in the same thing as doing workshops in schools. It's totally different. Many different circumstances and why they're looked after.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's difficult to pinpoint. But predominantly, a lot of the experience I've had over the last couple of years, it's motivation level, uh-huh. and also young people less sociable nowadays. Mm-hmm. I think there's a better word that I could use than sociable, but I think a lot of the young people that we'll deal with at the moment, especially through the mention service, they've got a lot of social issues, mm-hmm. where that could be maybe, like I said, using public transport, being in public places. That seems to be a thing that crops up a lot, mm-hmm. As opposed to drugs and alcohol and other the advertised issues that are tagged to young people have in the past and currently as well.
Yeah.
So we look at motivating them, and so it's just building the young person's confidence and increasing their work skills and just the social skills as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the main reasons I was asking about looked after and accommodated young people was that it's typically assumed that they will be required to move into independence at a much, much younger age than many other people. Is that borne out in your experience, or are there enough supports in place as far as you can see when somebody, for example, would leave a foster placement, say at 16, or a residential school at around the same age?
I think in the past it's been an issue. I think the 32 councils in Scotland at the moment, I think they're getting their acts together on that issue. With free care and aftercare workers, and some young people that we speak to have had a bad experience, some have had good. It's I wouldn't say there's a massive improvement, but I think the local councils are are putting the right things in place to make those changes what are probably needed in years gone by, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, Stephen, a lot of services now that probably most, if not all, services that are working with young people, maybe because it's related to funding matters or the sustainability of a service, they're required to measure outcomes in some way. Mm-hmm. So can you say a bit about how Move On go about doing that? Is it self-reporting by young people about what they've got out of a programme, or how peer mentoring's helped them, or is there some more kind of mathematical way of working out outcomes, or does it track people in years to come looking back in the service, or is it just a response to workshops and kind of more traditional evaluations? How do you go about capturing the successes and outcomes of your service?
We have quarterly reports that we need to fill in that go to our funders, and on there we've got certain criteria that certain stats that we have to hit, and there can be anything from improving working skills to confidence building, all up to achieving accreditation. That's how we record it. We also do the personal evaluation sheets as well, for each session workshops. We do it when we do the transitions training as well. We also get evaluations from our peer educators from the training, and also we have SNS with them, which is support and supervision sessions with each individual volunteer, just to make sure that they're okay. And those more private evaluations, if you like, they don't go to any stats, but it just helps us to maybe work, help us improve where we need to improve, and let us know what we're doing right. And it's always about self-evaluation, making sure that you're doing the right thing by the young people, and making sure that we're doing it in a fun and enjoyable, but an informal learning tool way as well. So it's even though we have got our stats and figures to hit for our funding, we do obviously self-evaluate all the time, and hopefully that makes us a better organisation as well.
Okay, that's fantastic answer, Stephen. Now, just for anybody that's listening and who wishes to get in touch, could you maybe just briefly mention again the kind of key services that folk might be interested in finding out more about, and then how they can get in touch with your service and for example, the various places online where they can find out more information?
Yeah, of course. Well, we've got our own website, and that's MoveOn. So it's just www.moveon.org.uk. You can contact us through that. We've got a mentoring project which is 14 to 19 year olds, which I've mentioned briefly before. So if there's any school teacher out there in Edinburgh, looking to, or Glasgow area, looking to refer any young people that are worried, disengaging or in danger of disengaging or are disengaged, they can refer them to us, and that's just, you can contact us, Edinburgh 0131 558 3740 or Glasgow 0141 221 2272. We also do the peer education training, that's the same website and the same telephone numbers. We run that, we're due to run a new peer education, I think it's sometime in mid-May. We're currently halfway through the existing one, so that'll be picking up again mid-May to end of May, so just swing us up, and when we've got a definite date, we could let you know about that. And also there's visit and support, which is a service which is aimed at 16 to 28 year olds, which helps them who are at risk of homelessness or homeless at the moment or recently experienced homelessness, and there they'll get support in housing, money, addiction, health and life skills as well, and employment and training. I think that, again, that's the and experience of the care system too, and again that's MoveOn website and also the telephone numbers that I've given back before.
Okay. Well, thank you so much to Stephen Wilson and David Ailey for joining us this afternoon on Radio EduTalk, and all the best for the future.
Oh, great. Thank you very much, David. Thanks for your time.